Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. As we continue our study in this great book, we're in 1 John chapter 4. Appreciate Brother Holton filling in last week. I know he presented a great lesson from God's Word. I'm thankful that this congregation has capable men that can stand and deliver lessons to encourage the congregation. Well, tonight we are continuing our series of studies from the book of 1 John. And tonight as we continue our study, we are continuing with the same thought that we presented at the very beginning of our study, talking about the fellowship that we have with God. And it's fellowship with God, as we pointed out the very beginning, that makes the Christian life so full of joy. We talked about how we have fellowship and how to maintain that fellowship. This epistle written by the Apostle John has to do with maintaining fellowship with God. And you remember, John will give us tests that we can look at that will help us examine ourselves to see whether or not we truly have fellowship with God. And you see those tests throughout the first three chapters. Many times John will lay out a test. He'll elaborate on it again and again throughout the epistle, giving us more information, giving us a better understanding of what it means to walk in the light, what it means to confess our sins, what it means to follow the example of Christ, what it means to love our brethren. Those are various tests of fellowship that we see just in the first two chapters. Well, as we continue this thought of maintaining fellowship, we realize that there are things that can hinder that fellowship. The devil is trying to hinder that fellowship that we have with God. This reminds me of what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that he is a roaring lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. We're going to learn tonight how the devil works, and the devil has allies in this spiritual warfare that we are in. But as we again think about the idea of maintaining fellowship, if we're going to maintain that fellowship that makes the Christian life so full of joy, we can see from 1 John 1, 4 through 6 that we must practice discernment. That is really the main thought from the first six verses of this chapter. Again, if we're going to maintain that fellowship, we must learn to practice discernment because of the false teaching, because of the false religion that is in our world today. Let's begin our study by reading 1 John chapter 4, and let's read all six verses. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, as you go back through these verses, you'll notice in verse number 3 as it relates to discernment. John says there are going to be individuals that will deny the Christ. They will deny that Christ came in the flesh. He mentions them, you'll notice by name, the Antichrist. Those individuals that were going around influencing Christians, saying that Christ didn't come in the flesh. I think it's interesting that there are still religions today under the umbrella of Christendom that still will teach that Christ didn't come in the flesh. This particular doctrine, this false doctrine, has been around for a long, long time. But again, you see what the Apostle John is saying here. Beware of these false prophets that are going around saying that Christ didn't come in the flesh. You know, as I was sitting in my chair this afternoon, sleeping a little bit but meditating, I was thinking about this lesson and the Apostle John again dealing with false prophets, false teachers, false religion. And I was just rolling different verses around in my mind, and I was just amazed as I was just scanning through the New Testament in my mind how many contexts there are that deal with the subject of false doctrine. This is something that we must be aware of, and it's something that we have to be on guard with, learning to practice that discernment because of all of the false teaching that is going on in the world. But again, you'll notice from verses 3 and 4, if somebody is not willing to confess that Christ is come into the flesh, beware of that individual. Beware of that false teacher. As you think about this point, as you think about what John is saying, there is something that we see in this text about false teaching that we see actually in other verses, and I'll mention some of these verses, and that is this. You can't tell a false teacher by the way he looks, but you can tell he's a false teacher by what he says. Not by the way he looks, by the way he combs his hair, by the way he dresses. That's not how you identify false teachers. You identify false teachers by what comes out of their mouth. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is going to talk about that broad path, and I've mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again because of the context and because of the subject that we're speaking about tonight. In Matthew chapter 7, you'll notice in verse number 13, Jesus talks about entering in at the straight gate. He talks about that straight gate that leads to that leads to the narrow path that leads to eternal life. But then he talks about that broad gate that leads to the broad path that ultimately leads to destruction. And I remember growing up hearing preachers, and I know that I've made the same application. Oh, that broad path is a worldly path. It's an easy path, and rightfully so. It is a worldly path. But as you study the context, you begin to see something maybe a little bit different about that broad path that leads to destruction. And my question would be, why are there so many people on that broad path? Well, as you continue to read, all you have to do is continue to read the context. And that's why we encourage people to read the chapter, to read the book, to learn to look at things in their context, to rightly divide the word of truth, according to 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15. Because when we look at the context, we see, in fact, that broad gate that leads to that broad path that leads to destruction, listen to me, is a religious path. It is a religious path. Why are so many on that broad path? Why are there going to be so many people that are lost? Remember what Jesus said about the right way that leads to eternity? Few there be that find it. Why is that? Well, again, look at verse number 15. Listen to what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets which come to you, notice this, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Again, ye shall know them by their fruits. By how they live, by the way they act, by what they teach. By what they teach. You can write down 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Again, you can't tell a false teacher who a false teacher is by the way he looks, but what he says. You test the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do you realize as you go through the New Testament, we read about false prophets? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. By the way, 2 Peter chapter 2 presents the challenges to spiritual growth. The book of 2 Peter is all about spiritual growth. The Apostle Peter defines spiritual growth in 2 Peter chapter 1. He gives incentives for spiritual growth in 2 Peter chapter 3. But you go back and you read of all of chapter 2, you'll see the challenge to spiritual growth. And the challenge to spiritual growth is false teachers, false teaching. Do you realize the whole chapter of 2 Peter has to do with false teaching? Do you realize that that's what Jesus is warning us about here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15? And we can see why the majority of the religious world is going to be lost. It has to do with the false teaching and the false prophets, the false teachers, what people are teaching. In fact, you continue to drop down verse number 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. There's a religious context throughout this context, a religious context that teaches us why so many are on that broad path and why the Apostle John is encouraging discernment. You see, a false teacher will not say wrong things 100% of the time. That's a point that we need to take to heart. A false teacher will not say wrong things 100% of the time. In fact, when you talk to religious people, when you have religious discussion, you'll realize that the majority of what people are saying most of the time is pretty accurate. When people talk about the love of God, and they talk about the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ and how the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away our sins. More than likely, with most of that, we would probably be in agreement. But when they start to talk about how we come into contact with that blood, that's where we have to be on guard. That's where we need to know the Word of God, because a false teacher will not say wrong things 100% of the time. And we realize that the devil is behind false teaching. He is behind false doctrine. And you'll notice how the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, will link false doctrine with the devil. The doctrines of the devil. You see, if it's not from God, it's of the devil. And we see again why we have to practice discernment. You know, this morning we mentioned the passage from Ephesians 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. But there again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14, Paul is encouraging the brethren to be built up so that they won't be tossed to and fro, carried about, listen to it, with every wind of doctrine. And there are a lot of winds of doctrine in our day of time that we have to beware of. Again, that's why if we're going to guard or maintain fellowship with God, the Apostle John is encouraging us to test the spirits, to really listen to what people are saying, to test, to examine, to practice discernment by looking at the Word of God. And so again, we see the reason or the purpose of maintaining fellowship with God. And the key to maintaining fellowship is practicing that discernment. Again, the Apostle John says, beware of false prophets, which test those false prophets. And as you go through the New Testament, you're going to find that exhortation over and over again. But John, in the context, is saying, beware of those who will not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. You'll also notice in verses 4 and 5, under the title of discernment, he says again, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They, speaking about these false prophets, are of the world. If you listen to what John is saying, if a teacher incorporates worldliness into his message, he's a false teacher. And he needs to be marked as a false teacher. Now here we are encouraged to practice discernment. But there are other passages that we certainly want to put with 1 John chapter 4, because as we practice that discernment, as we listen to that man, that individual, if he is speaking things contrary to sound doctrine, if he is deviating from the doctrine of Jesus Christ, saying things that are false, again, that individual needs to be rejected. That individual needs to be marked. Listen to what Paul says in Titus 3, verse number 10. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, listen to the language, reject. Reject that person. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Look at what Paul says here in Romans chapter 16 as it relates to false teachers. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 17, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now again, John is mentioning two things from 1 John chapter 4. If somebody says that Christ didn't come in the flesh, you need to mark them. You need to reject them. If a false teacher incorporates worldliness into his message, again, you need to mark him. By the way, as you're looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, that idea of worldliness would be associated with Gnosticism, which essentially said it doesn't matter how you live. You might as well do what you want, because you cannot bring the flesh under God's control. And so just do what you want. And really what Gnosticism encouraged was a religion of convenience. And so many will still practice a religion of convenience, just doing what you want to do. And again, when we hear those things, we see that those things are different from what God's Word teaches. Again, practicing that discernment, here we learn that we're to mark those individuals. We also are to reject those individuals. Why? Because we don't want to be carried away from the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Here's another passage, if you would, turn over to the book of 3 John. Turn over to the book of, of 2 John. In 2 John, and we're going to begin reading it at verse number 9. Verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive not him into your house. Notice the language. Neither bid him God speed. Don't extend fellowship to somebody who doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ. How do we know if a person is abiding in the doctrine of Christ? Again, 1 John chapter 4. We have to practice that discernment. We have to listen to what people are saying. We test it. We examine it by looking at the doctrine of Christ. Now, if you would, go back to 1 John chapter 4. Again, John mentions those who were unwilling to confess that Christ came in the flesh. He talks about those false teachers in verses 4 and 5 who incorporate worldliness. But then in verse number 6, he talks about those false teachers who reject apostolic preaching. Look at verse number 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God, listen to it, heareth us. The us has to do with the apostles. And remember, John 16, verse number 13, the apostles were guided into all truth. Why are we highlighting that? Because the Gnostics believed that they had a superior knowledge. A knowledge that was above the apostles. And so naturally, these Gnostic teachers would go around proclaiming that they had more knowledge, a superior knowledge, a deeper knowledge than that of the apostles. The apostle John says, you better mark those individuals that are going around that are not abiding in the apostles' doctrine. By the way, when you think about the doctrine of the apostles, the doctrine of Christ, those two ideas are synonymous. We must never deviate from the doctrine that we find the apostles giving that we have in the New Testament. You'll notice in Acts chapter 2, after the Lord's church was established, beginning around verse number 41, those who were baptized continued in the doctrine of the apostles. Because, again, the Holy Spirit was guiding the apostles. And so we have all of these verses that warn us about false teachers. As I said, the Bible not only warns us about false teachers. Do you realize Scripture mentions false apostles? We see in Ephesians, we see in the book of Revelation with the congregation at Ephesus. The congregation at Ephesus was being challenged with individuals who were saying that they were apostles and found them to be false apostles. We read about false apostles. We read about false prophets, false teachers. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, we read about false brethren. Brethren who were saying that they were in fellowship with other brethren. But again, Paul says, we found them to be false brethren. I believe Paul is talking about the Judaizing teachers there in the book of Galatians, which was hindering New Testament Christians. These Judaizing teachers were encouraging people to go back to the old law. And so as we study this section here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, you see the need for discernment. As I mentioned, the devil is behind false doctrine. If you would, turn over to the book of Revelation. I mentioned this in our introduction. The devil has allies. And we see in Revelation 13, Satan's allies. Again, John sees a beast coming out of the sea. As you look at what this beast is, we can see that it has to do with corrupt governments. And in particular, I believe the Apostle John here was talking about the Roman Empire that was very corrupt, that was persecuting Christians. But then later on, in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 11, we read about another beast coming up out of the earth. And listen to what John says. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Notice the symbolism here in verse number 11. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. This really reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so over and over throughout the New Testament, we are warned about false teachers. And when you look out in the world today, our world is saturated with false religion. But that's nothing new. You see the same thing in the Old Testament. You say the same thing in the New Testament. And just because a person is religious doesn't mean that their religion is right. If we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. We must abide in the religion of Jesus Christ. And we must learn to practice discernment, because the devil is going to do everything that he can to pull us away from Jesus Christ. And how is he going to do it? One way he's going to try to do it is through false teaching. And so we have to be on guard. We have to practice discernment. We have to know the Word of God. We have to discern. We have to avoid. We have to mark. We have to reject. But here John is encouraging us to practice discernment. You know, as you think about the subject of false teaching, you realize that the majority of the New Testament was written to offset what false teachers were teaching. You go through every book of the New Testament with that thought in mind, and you might be surprised what you read, what you find. The majority of the New Testament, again, was written to offset what false teachers were doing. And we're encouraged in Jude verse number 3 to contend earnestly for the faith. That's why we must learn to practice discernment as we contend earnestly for the faith that God has given us. You look at the book of Galatians. Again, every book. You look at the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel." And you realize that is exactly what will happen to us. We will be soon removed from the truth of God's Word if we don't learn to practice discernment. And so the Apostle John exhorts us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." May God help us to defend the truth, to follow the truth, to love the truth, because the truth, John 8, verse number 32, will set you free. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.